Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm so excited to bring you an amazing guest. We've just spent 20 minutes chit-chatting in our green room, and I feel like I've made a new friend, and I can't wait to introduce my new friend, an incredibly esteemed colleague, Shelly Whitehead. Shelly is a renowned relationship coach who has spent decades helping people learn to develop and have fulfilling relationships. And she also really specializes in helping to guide people through heartache, heartbreak, and refining our relationship skills. And y'all, who doesn't need a bit of that right now? So Shelly, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you.
Across the pond. She's in London. Y'all, we're global here. We've got global guests.
And I think we're experiencing the same winter temperatures, but it's really great to be with you, Bella.
Oh, it's great to be here too. And let's dive right into it. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to do the work that you're doing.
I often say to clients, if I haven't been in it, I've coached it in the last almost 20 years. So the backstory is I've been bereaved. My first husband had cancer and he passed away, the father of my three children.
I'm sorry.
I got married again a couple of years later, and that was like pushing water uphill, and that ended, and that was one of the biggest heartbreaks I ever had. So when that happened, and I picked myself up off the floor again, the process of healing your heartbreak became very, very well defined, because not only had I been helping my clients through heartbreak, I had some valuable processes and tips that I gleaned from my own heartbreak, which became my first book that was published. I'll show it to you here, which is Healing Your Heartbreak, 28 Days to Transformation. And is it 28 days and you're completely healed? No, but no. It's 28 days to transformation. Mm. And I use a four-part structure about getting grounded, because you know, unless we're grounded, nothing can happen. And then we've got growth, where we kind of get that sense of adventure again. And then it's about the sunshine, stepping into the sunshine, which is part three. And lastly, it's about gaining perspective, where it all comes together. What most people don't realize, because it's the thing we try to escape from very quickly, is the pain. But heartbreak is a process for transformation, because if we dive deeper, we start to see who we are, who we weren't, what was happening, what we wish wasn't happening. And from this, we get to know ourselves better. When we really look at the relationship with some sort of like microfying spectacles, and when we take what we don't want and then what we do want, and we distill this into our values and standards, and we're not aching anymore, then we're possibly ready to go out there and to start practicing dating. Notice I say the word practicing dating.
Practicing. No, and I think that that's such a great, it's such a great lens. And I don't know your backstory well enough, but I know that we've had a lot of clients at Smart Dating Academy that we've helped, some of whom have come back to tell their love stories with very similar situations. Like they were married to somebody, had a great relationship, that person passes. And then out of the gate, they marry somebody else or partner up with somebody else. And it is fairly disastrous for a number of reasons. And sometimes what I found is when you have a really good relationship, sometimes we luck into those relationships. We're lucky. And we don't know how lucky we are to have had that, that we think everybody is good and everybody is good for us. And we go in kind of eyes wide shut to some extent into this next relationship and ignoring red flags and incompatibilities, thinking they'll all magically sort themselves out. Do you feel like that's part of what might have happened with you? Because we see this a lot in our practice.
I didn't practice. It happened very, very quickly. I swept off my feet.
Yeah.
And got married within 8 weeks and changed my whole life. It was someone I'd known for a very long time. But here's
the thing.
Which
gives you comfort.
Of course.
Which you think you comfort.
Yeah. They think that there's safety and trust and, you know, all the things that are necessary in a relationship. And it's not about him being a bad person. It's just about people not being compatible because values and standards are very different. But this is why we need to practice dating for at least a year. Because the skill of discernment is absolutely vital. And this is what people don't know how to do, is to go into something really listening, really eyes wide open, and learning about the person in front of you. Because what most people tend to do, and please, for any of your listeners, this is a really important point. We don't go out there to be the best person for them. We go out there qualifying. Are you right for me? Are you right for my life? And it's more complicated when you have children. Because put children into an equation, into a second marriage or whatever it might be, it can be very, very difficult. So there are a lot of things to consider. And that's why we take our time. And that's why I'm also known as the queen of go slow. I remember a young lady saying to me, I was working with her on Zoom, and she'd come out of a heartbreak, and she had recently met someone, and she'd spent 3 weeks chatting to him. He was on the pro golf circuit, and she said to me, "This is it. I really, really can trust him." And I said, "Tell me more." And the reason she was given for trust were not the reasons that were really valid, because they hadn't been discerned. We don't know anyone in 3 weeks.
No.
And whatever anyone presents about themselves, remember, for the first 3 months, people show up as the best version of themselves. I have not known, in all the years of working with individuals and knowing people, anyone keeping it up for more than 3 months. I remember the first time my husband, and I have married again, and I've been with him 9 years, and it's the best relationship of my life.
Oh,
I remember.
Good. Okay, good. I didn't know that. Great.
Thank you. But I remember the first time, it was probably about month four, where he saw what we would call the shadow side, you know, the side of me that maybe be a little irritating. And he stood there and he was quite perplexed. And because I was saying, I need it done now and I'll do it myself. You know, that's me. I'll do it myself. And he was like, but I'll help you. Yeah, there was a side of me he hadn't seen before. And this is after 3 months. Everybody has the side of themselves that will start to pop up in months 4 to 7. That's the behavioral stuff we really, really want to be looking at. Because yeah, this is where we need to see how well, and you know, I'll give you some tips from my second book, because I actually have written a second book and I run it as a course. But one of the biggest red flags when it comes to getting to know someone is if they don't have the ability to emotionally regulate. And I wonder what you think about that one.
I could not agree with you more on that. And how emotional regulation, right? It's a big word. And what does it ultimately mean? It means to me, and I welcome your chat on this, it's when something bad typically happens when there's a misunderstanding, when there's a conflict, when there's a hurt, right? When there's a disappointment. How quickly can we come back to center and regulate ourselves so that we're not having tantrums, being maniacs, being cruel, or being ice queens or ice kings?
You expressed that beautifully.
Okay.
And it is. It's how quickly, after being triggered, when we release a whole lot of chemicals into our system, we exit the prefrontal cortex and we go into fight, flight, or freeze, one of those three behaviors. By the way, that chemical release in the bloodstream lasts for a specific period of time. Prefrontal cortex is also called the rational brain. So we've exited our rational brain. We're in fight, flight, and freeze. It lasts in our bloodstream for 20 minutes, which means for 20 minutes, we're not in our rational brain. This is why people who are so emotionally dysregulated do terrible things. Murders are committed when people are so emotionally dysregulated. And it's a very important thing to remember that in a healthy relationship, in any relationship, those 20 minutes we need to really just calm down, make a cup of tea, take a walk, announce our exit so the other person doesn't feel abandoned. Look, I'm going to go into my garden. I'll be back in a few minutes. We'll have tea and we can chat about it. But to breathe, ground, remember everything starts with grounding, and then come back to the rational brain and discuss the trigger. What I think, what I feel, what I want and need. Because underneath every trigger is a deep longing or an unmet need or a feeling of something not being fair, which in turn, relates into a need of how we need it to be.
I love that. And it's knowing that if you feel like you're a person that gets triggered all the time, what does that mean about yourself?
Therein lies a lot of deep diving and a lot of deep work, because it's probably in our families of origin where very important needs were not met and emotional regulation wasn't mirrored. Children live what they learn, and then they go on to take these into their relationships because they're doing the best they can. Everyone's doing the best they can with the knowledge that they have. And that's the key word, knowledge. Because knowledge applied becomes that wisdom. And every single relationship needs knowledge. If anyone is looking for the perfect partner where they're not going to feel triggered, where they're going to feel emotionally supported all the time, and they're not prepared to do the work, don't even think about getting into a relationship. Relationships, healthy relationships, need work. They need people to put in that effort. And at times they need outside help.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with either of the individuals, but looking for good outside help, somebody who specializes in working with couples, helping them through that prepare so that they can really reconnect is so important.
I've had sometimes couples that have said, I'm dating 3 or 4 months and I think we need to get in to counseling. It's kind of like, if you want to get into counseling now because you're already having issues, I tend to think, to your point, your issues when you're dating tend to, as much as you can self-regulate, work with each other on that, those tend to be the bugaboos that come up with different faces and different symptoms over time. So it's like, if you are already thinking about going into counseling this early on in your relationship, are you really good for each other? Like, I love the effort. I love the thought about this, but what would you respond to that if somebody came to you after dating, 3 or 4 months and we want to go into counseling?
So if they've never done any work on themselves before in a relationship, and it might be that this is now the fifth relationship and they're both running into the same problems and they're going, something's wrong here. And I don't think it's you. I think I'm showing up in a way, and you're showing up in a way. Remember, we're going to choose a partner generally who's going to trigger stuff in us that's unhealed or that needs to be worked on. We're never going to escape this. And it might be to a really minor degree, because I know in this relationship that I have now, there are very, very few triggers. And I have someone who's really willing to dive deep with me. But if they're people who have never done the work, and this time they go, I'm really willing to do the work, I'd say, that's great. Because you've come to a new realization. It's not about the person being wrong. It's about work needing to be done. And you're both willing to do it. That's the difference. If they're both willing to do it. I started coaching a couple of years ago. And they were into a new relationship. And they'd both been divorced. And this time, they really want to get it right.
I love that.
And it has been such a joy, because we had a few sessions and they popped up the other day, a few years later. And they go, there were a few things we want to work on. She had everything itemized. And we went through in this one session these key points. And they're still doing the work because they're reading, they're really connecting. They have a strong relationship because it's the intention of getting it right, being there for one another, being successful in a relationship. And I'm just thinking, some of the most amazing couples therapists that I've worked with tell the stories of their own relationships that have been so challenging at times. And I'm so grateful to hear that. Because they kind of just level things that it's not always, roses and chocolates and romance. Sometimes you look at this person and you go, I don't like you. But the love is there and you're going through a difficult time because you're feeling disconnected and it's harder you come back to reconnecting.
Yeah.
And this is why that dating process is so vitally important. Excuse me, that people know how to date. They know who they are and what they're looking for, especially if they've been heartbroken. If they're still thinking about their ex and, the mind's going around in circles all the time, they're probably not over the ex. They're probably still going through that grieving process, because heartbreak is grief. It's the same as somebody dying. Just the period that we grieve generally is a lot shorter with heartbreak than the loss of bereavement of somebody leaving our lives, passing away. Mm. And I have noticed this, and I've defined the grieving processes in my book. And it's very easy to see where we are. It's like, oops, I'm back in bargaining, because it's not linear. But when we get to the point of meaning, getting the meaning, which is the sixth stage of grief, it's so, so valuable.
That's interesting. I didn't know all of the stages of grief and that there's six stages.
So would you like me to go through them?
Sure, sure. And okay. I also, you've got so much great information, and I also want to go through, that, and then, which will lead perfectly into, when might you not be ready to date? Are you heartbroken?
Okay, then we're definitely going to go into that. So the first stage of grief is denial. And that normally is the shock. Can't believe what's been said. You cannot believe what's happened. And then we go into the bargaining, the if onlys or I wish.
And how does that show up with bargaining? Like, is it regret?
Regret. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. If only I'd done this. If only we had done that. If only I'd worked on myself, if only I hadn't had that conversation. A client said to me, do you think if I hadn't said that, he wouldn't have ended it, or she wouldn't have ended it? It's like, no, it's most unlikely. What you said was not what ended it, because people do not wake up on a Tuesday morning of that month, and go, today's a good day to end my relationship. the one who's ending the relationship has been thinking about this for quite some time. Correct. They've been unhappy and thinking and unhappy and thinking, and then they take action. There's Correct. Just that straw that breaks the camel's back, and it's the end. But it's not that thing that ended the relationship.
True.
So, yeah, so they are caught up in the if-onlys and I wishes. I wished. And then we have anger. And anger not acted on is a very healthy stage. And I say not acted on. I have a girlfriend who many years ago saw her ex's car at a restaurant. I decided to reverse into it a few times in anger. We don't want to act out our anger.
Right. Anger's but good. Yes. Just drive away. Yeah. Put your car exactly. into drive.
Indeed, not reverse. But I love it when clients start to feel angry because it's motivating. It has energy to it. I know we're going somewhere. There's not that stuckness with the denial and the bargaining. And there comes this depressed state. They call depression, but it's not clinical depression. It's normal to cry, to be sad, to be heartbroken. We don't need antidepressants for heartbreak. I mean, there are times when medication is important, and I'm not denying that. And there are times we must seek help. You know, if we're having really dark thoughts, we need to seek help. But it's a normal part to feel really depressed. And then we come to the stage of meaning. And meaning is the meaning we get from the relationship. The meaning we take from what we've learned in this whole experience and who we were and who we don't want to be and what we want instead.
I love that.
Oh, and there's an, sorry, just before meaning is acceptance. We get to the acceptance and then there's the meaning.
I love that. So meaning is like synthesizing all of it. Like, okay, that here's what I learned about myself and here's what I learned my role was.
That's it, taking responsibility for who I was in that relationship.
Right. You know, maybe I accepted all the bad behavior. Maybe I committed the bad behavior, right? And usually it does always take two to some extent, right? But it's that 100%. Ability to take the accountability. Like this was my role in it.
It might even have been a role where we were working from deep fear. We should have left. I see this often with clients who've been in very abusive relationships. They were so fearful and too fearful to leave, stuck in fear. And that's also a role that we play. You know, we work from self-love or fear. And we don't want to be working from fear.
No, that's exactly right. And wow, I love this. This is so eye-opening.
Grieving is a very positive and powerful process that clears the path to the future if we dive deep into it and we look for the meaning and we introspect about our relationship and ourselves. There are people who should not go dating, and that's if they've got any form of crisis going on in their lives.
Yeah, let's go into those. Like, how do I know if I'm ready to date again? I usually tell people, look, there's no time limit. You might have lost your partner 6 months ago, 6 years ago, or 20 years ago. And that could be via they've passed or you've divorced or it was a breakup, right? But if the thought of dating, if the thought of having a partner excites you and makes you feel happy, that's a good sign that you're ready to date again. So with that being said, what are some signs that you're not ready to date?
Obviously, if you're still thinking and ruminating about your ex and you can't get them out of your mind and you're still stalking their social media accounts, block them and do the work and then you'll be ready to date. But If your life is going through some form of crisis, if there's a bereavement, if you've lost your job, basically, if you're feeling very ungrounded in your own life, it's not a good time to go dating.
It's great advice.
You know, death, divorce, house move, job loss, big stresses. So we want to be approaching everything, you know, with our full sense of self and feeling really positive, looking forward to meeting new people. So, yeah, sometimes we need to grieve and sometimes we need to steady that ship. But the most important thing is feeling grounded and ready.
And when you say, let's say, you know, we've processed our grief or we're ready, that doesn't have to mean we won't feel sad about that again, right? It doesn't have to mean that we've compartmentalized this and it's done and it's over. But when do you know, like, you know, I know one of the things is if you're heartbroken, you shouldn't be dating. But when do you know I'm actually okay now?
You love your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're showing up to life. You're going to the yoga class or you're exercising, you're meeting friends, you're entertaining, you're really happy to walk the dog. You're getting on with your life.
Yeah.
And you love your life. If you hate your life and things aren't working, you're also not ready to date. Because who are you bringing to the table? Someone who hates their life, hates what they're doing, hates their job, doesn't have many friends. There are things that make us really attractive. We're confident. We love our life. We can be authentic and we can be vulnerable. Loving a life is bringing so much to a relationship. You're not looking to be rescued. You've got something to add into the relationship. And not having a life we love is really looking to be rescued. Looking for someone to add to your life. The best relationships are where two people have lives they love and they come together and they're interested in what each other does. So not knowing who you are, not knowing what you want, not having a vision for your life, not valuing who you are in your own life means we've got some work to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's okay to be sad if your spouse has passed, but that doesn't mean, and that doesn't mean that, you know, it's like, am I ready? I'm like, I think you're ready. I think you've built a new life. Mm-hmm. You're happy. This person will always be in your life. That pain of that sudden loss will never go away.
Nothing like that. We're human, we have feelings, all gamut of feelings. And you can hear a song and you know, your eyes well up with tears because there's a memory attached to it. Doesn't mean you're in the doldrums of depression. Just we have feelings and we're human.
We're human.
And neither do we have to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Somebody once said it was that old story about the perfect man going in search and eventually finds the witch at the top of the hill who looks into the crystal ball. And he said, I'm looking for the perfect woman. She goes, she's looking for the perfect man. And they don't exist. So there is no perfection, but there's authentic and the ability to be vulnerable. We don't have to cover over parts of ourselves. But then again, there's discernment. And that to me is really key. You know, in my new book about the relationship skills, I use the same format that I used in Healing Your Heartbreak about the groundedness because relationships are cyclical. Life is cyclical. Look at the seasons that we go through. I'm very connected to nature and the way we live our lives. In the seasons of life. But when you initially meet someone, the relationship needs to become grounded. You know, my husband's an architect. He used a really lovely saying early on in our relationship. He says, and this needs to cement, you know, that architectural building kind of, the groundedness it needs to cement. So in the beginning, we are looking to see who this person is and how they're showing up. And it's like a little bulb in the ground in winter. It's not going to suddenly start sprouting and blooming. It's waiting for the right conditions. And that's really what discernment does. Are these the right conditions? And then we go on to the growth part where, you know, little bulb sticks its head up and the little leaves come out. And it's looking to see, is there enough sun? Is it warm enough? Should I start flowering? And this is how we are in a relationship, you know, with the, we're looking to become more creative. And it's the sense of adventure that we're going into with a new partner. And then we're going into the sunshine part where that sense of joy, where we have the, you know, the passion and the play and so much more, the receptivity. But if we are not discerning, we give too much too soon. We run away with the future. We run away with the fantasy. I've seen men and women do this, not just women. They literally run away with the fantasy. Was a young guy I was working with a few years ago. He was almost 30. And I said, no. Discernment and go slow are your two key things here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these crazy relationships that were popping up all had the same theme because there was a lack of discernment and he was moving too fast.
Too fast.
Mm. And right. he recently got married to the loveliest, loveliest woman. And yeah, he practiced discernment and he took his time.
That's so important. I think people, you know, we always say what starts fast ends fast.
Very often. Very, very often because it's not grounded. And there's not proper growth. You know, things haven't taken root properly. So most people date in the dark without knowing, you know, what really, I always say, your soul's longing and your heart's desire, what makes their soul sing. And when you do know, you know yourself, you know what to look for.
I think so many people just date for the spark and the chemistry. And the minute they feel that sparky feeling, all in. But sometimes the spark is just a spark. It doesn't mean anything about compatibility. But we're dating for this fantasy, ultimately. And it's like, just because you have a spark with someone, and more importantly, if you're not feeling the spark with someone, doesn't mean that this person isn't going to be very good for you long term. But the key in all of this is discernment and taking it slow.
You've said something so valuable, and I want to just rewind on this, particularly for the women listening to this. I've had so many women say to me, date one, he's nice, but I said, good conversation. She said, yeah, there's no chemistry. Date him again. It can take 5 or 6, maybe 7 dates, and there's just something that shifts. And you've had the great conversation. It's very compatible. It becomes companionable. And it's just something he says or does. And I want to put this as in he and she, because I work across the board in all relationships. But there's just something that this person does that suddenly becomes very attractive and gets your attention. And there's that chemistry. Do not send a relationship packing because you don't initially feel the chemistry. It also depends on attachment styles. If you have an avoidant attachment style, and I have worked with a number of people who have an avoidant attachment style, and these were particularly my women, and he's nice, but stay with it. He's nice. It's okay. Okay, commit to this for 1 year. They're all married. And they're in good relationships, really good relationships. My clients don't get into bad relationships because they really apply these skills. And they can see early on, you know, we really work closely in these early dating stages. There was someone who was dating a man. And there were red flags aplenty. And 3 weeks in, it was scary. I said to her, this is not normal behavior. It feels dangerous. And she was feeling it too. I said, you need to leave this now. And she did. So we get to see those red flags very early on sometimes, or within those 3 months, or definitely in months 4 to 7. But going slowly and not expecting there to be intense chemistry. And sometimes there is great chemistry and it is very compatible. And that's just magical.
That's the Holy Grail.
Yeah, that's, you know, really magical. But the chemistry shows up sometimes a little later on.
I love what you say here. You know, we talked about, if I'm ready again, you're still heartbroken. You're still in crisis, right? Mm-hmm. And because you're unlikely to make good dating decisions if your life is in turmoil, like you're saying, if you basically hate your life. But here, when you say you need to be rescued from your life, right? Mm-hmm. That is not a good time to date because nobody can rescue.
No. Only you can rescue yourself. You've got to have a life that works.
Yeah.
And if it's not working, don't expect someone else to walk in and make it work. You've got to have a life you love. And otherwise, you're really not taking responsibility for your life.
Yeah. And that also means financially rescuing, right? I hear a lot of this. Well, I just need someone to make sure that I'm going to be okay in my retirement. I said,
no.
No.
It's a different generation. Our grandparents and, you know, even parents come from different generations. You're going to love my new book. Skill number one is connection. It's about how we feel and how connected we are to our own feelings, being able to really connect to ourselves. Because if we cannot connect to ourselves, we cannot connect to another. Skill number two is autonomy. Do we have autonomy in all areas of our life? Physical and emotional health, our career, our finances, our personal development, you know, family and social connections, emotionally. Do we have autonomy? We shouldn't be looking for someone, as somebody once walked in and she was sitting in front of me. She said, I want someone who's going to look after me. I said, what does that look like? And the financial thing came in. And I said, no, we don't do that anymore. We work as a team, but we're able to look after ourselves financially. We don't want to be rescued financially. Neither do we want to be controlled.
Right. And neither do we want to rescue somebody else.
And definitely not. And there are times, you know, in a relationship where people can go through difficult times. They can go through, somebody could lose their job. We support our partner, but we always want to make sure we have a buffer and we can take care of one another.
Yeah.
This is the reciprocity that exists in a relationship, the give and the take, the ability to receive.
The ability to receive.
Yeah. But we really want to have autonomy over our lives. Things have changed through the generations. It's not like it was, where the man was the provider and woman stayed at home and looked after the children and cooked the meals. And we work more now as teams.
That's right. And the money piece is a big deal, as I'm sure you know, for so many people. Either I need more in my retirement, or I don't want to support anybody, you know, because I have X. And if I'm, you know, if I make this much, they should make at least 1.5 times as much. It's like, wow, this piece is such a big deal for people. And I know it comes down to safety, but it's kind of like, look, our advice always is, can this person pay their own way? Are they on their own feet? Because after that, money is just a scorecard.
It is. And when relationships end, it comes down to the finances. We don't want to be in a position where we're on our back foot as well. So this is something somebody once said to me, you don't get what you want in life, you get what you negotiate. And negotiations, good negotiations, are very important. And a relationship is an investment. We want to be getting the returns from it. And if we're not getting the returns, something is wrong. And this is not just financial, it's on all levels. That we definitely want to be able to pay our own way.
Yeah, period.
And things have changed. So the old models don't work anymore. And it doesn't mean that we choose to do things differently in relationships, because I work with couples where she is the breadwinner and he is brilliant at taking care of the kids and the home. But they work really well together with finances. It's not hers, it's theirs. So it's what we negotiate that works for us. And I'm not knocking old models, but there needs to be autonomy on both sides.
Yeah, and both people need to be happy with the situation.
With the negotiation.
Well, tell us, is there anything, I know you have this new book coming out, you know, are there any last gems you can share with the wide world of Smart Dating Academy listeners that can make us better today?
You know, the book I've turned into a course, and what's come out of the course when we've gone through the 28 skills, aside from discernment and autonomy and connection, boundaries. Boundaries are not barriers. It's just, I know where I am, my thoughts, my feelings, my needs. And I know your thoughts and feelings and needs. I know where I end and where you start. And I don't want to impose myself. I liken it to a garden. There's your garden that you cultivate and my garden that I cultivate. And the garden we cultivate together. But I'm not going to hop across into your garden and suddenly start ripping out your flowers and weeds. You know, it's a violation of boundaries. I don't want to invalidate your feelings, your needs, and your thoughts by doing that. Boundaries are really important. And while I can trigger feelings and things in you, I'm not responsible for your feelings. I take responsibility for mine, but I'm responsible for showing up to reconnect and to repair if we have a trigger. Boundaries are very, very important. And if we're an anxious attachment style, sometimes we disregard boundaries because we overfunction. We buy, we do, we organize so much without being asked. And while it's nice to do something nice for someone every now and again, an anxious attachment style really needs to work on boundaries, maybe more so than someone who's securely attached.
Anxious people can tend to do those things, wanting a response from somebody to calm them, right?
Yes.
And if you find yourself doing nice things for people because you're wanting a reassuring response, or you want, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing this for?
Why? Good question. That's it. So if we don't have healthy boundaries, we're not ready to date. Something we need to dive deeper into. And in the groups, we can see where boundaries were lacking, where the process of discernment wasn't applied, where we ran away with the future too quickly and didn't ask those vital questions. Out of that book, I recorded a little workshop called Dating Decoder. And if anyone in the audience wants access to any of the courses, I'm so happy to give them 5% off. They just need to tell me they came from you. And then I will very happily just give them a 5% off all of the courses. The Dating Decoder, again, has 28 questions that we can ask in those four, you know, the grounding, the growth. And the first 7 questions we need to know within the first few weeks.
I want to know what those are.
Yeah. Someone I know recently, close to our family, has started dating and I gave it to them. And they found it so helpful. So, you know, family members can be quite brutal in their response and feedback, and they've really, really found it great. So I know my clients do, but it was really lovely to hear this from a family member. Yeah.
That's so really lovely.
Yeah, it really, really does help people to have the skill of discernment because they've got the specific questions to ask.
I love that. And you're right. I think in that discernment, smart dater, what I would tell you to do is one of our key tenets. It's learning to use your voice. And if you feel like, oh, this person brought this up, but I didn't want to overstep and ask, guess what? If they brought it up, they want to talk about it. They want you to ask. And if you have questions about it or something is unsettling, use your voice and ask the question. There's no exact right time. What Shelly and I want you to learn to do is listen to yourself. And if you have a question, a concern, something great, learn to say it in a way that's okay.
Very much. There's so often that again would be working from fear. And yeah, as you said, if they brought it up, it's open for discussion. Go there.
Go with it. And if you're confused as you think about it for a week after the date, bring it up again. Just say, you know, you said something last time which sparked a thought in me. Would it be okay if I asked you a question about it?
There you go. Beautiful. Mm.
Right. And do that, smart daters, as you're in discernment, right? And for those of you, I think we talked a lot, but I'm going to recap some of the things. Slow things down. You know, we have a 15-date rule at Smart Dating Academy. We always say nobody's going to get into an exclusive relationship prior to 15 dates. And those have a structure with no red flags. And we have a whole system that they adhere to. And then after that, I always like a full year, four seasons, to your point of how does this person handle conflict? There will be conflict. How do we navigate through it? Right. And so taking things slow, you don't need to rush anything. And if somebody that you're starting to date, this is a public service announcement for all of you. If somebody's pushing you to move faster than you are comfortable or want to, and after you've expressed that to them, that's not going to be a good relationship for you because they're already trying to control things.
Just shows that you're not being respected.
Yeah.
And it's a vital element, a vital skill that needs to be in the relationship, respect, because there isn't, if without respect, there isn't trust and isn't safety.
Exactly. So starting a relationship off on that foot doesn't usually lead to good things.
Definitely not. It's one of my red flags as well.
Shelly, it's been such a delight to have you on the podcast. And smart daters, I'm sure you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Be inspired. Love is going to come to you. It's a when, it's not an if. And just know that there are so many resources out there to help you and so many people that want to help you. Shelly's doing great work on the other side of the Atlantic. We're doing a lot of work at this point around the globe. Find someone that can help you and just know that we're living in the best time in the history of the planet to get help around everything we want to. There is no reason today, and I hope you take this from the inspirational place, dear listener, that I mean it. Everything that's happening for you, there is a resource out there for you to make you feel or look at things just a little differently or feel just a little better. So know that you're not alone. And until our next episode, I wish you a beautiful time. And Shelly, thank you again for being such a wonderful guest.
It's been so lovely being with you, Bella. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.